Happy to be in the house of God and to worship here with you this morning. I do covet your prayers as we go through the message this morning and study from God's Word. I'm not used to a big congregation like this, but I'm sure you're normal human beings that have failures in your life as well. Shortcomings, things that we can grow in, and I trust that you go to God's Word to grow. The message I have for this morning is taken from Proverbs chapter 24. I'm going to get my title from in this passage here, and we'll be turning to other passages for the rest of the message. We have snow outside. When you got snow, it gets slippery. And we often hear people say, watch your step, because it's slippery. Last winter, we had some skating time. And that's probably where some of this came for this message, some of the inspiration. But as I'd watch the young children learn to skate, they'd go along pretty good for a while, and then all of a sudden they'd fall, and they'd start falling, and their feet would go really fast in short steps, and they oftentimes would end up on the ice. And there was a couple times when I was standing there close, and they started in that short steps and falling forward, and they reached out and they grabbed a hold, and it stopped them from falling. The same, I believe, is true in the Christian life. There's people that start falling. And they start in the short steps of falling, and they're looking for brethren and sisters to reach out and grasp a hold of them and lift them up. Let's read Proverbs chapter 24, verse 15 and 16. Lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. The title I gave the message this morning, Rising to Victory in Jesus. Rising to Victory in Jesus. We think of the Sunday school lesson and the intercessory work. As someone is falling, and they reach out, you're the intercessor. You're the one that can help them to rise to victory in Jesus. But it takes effort to get up again. You see, when they fall down, when someone falls, it takes a lot of effort to get back up. And it's more so the bigger you get. You got that much more to raise up. But it takes effort to rise again. I'd like to think, as we think of rising to victory in Jesus this morning for a message, steps that we need to take, short steps to rise to this victory in Jesus. It's interesting to me in this passage, in this Proverbs 24, verse 15 and 16, it says seven times, a just man falls seven times. In the Bible, we know seven is a perfect number, is referred to as a perfect number. And this morning, I would like to use the number seven as the number of points that I have for some steps that we need to take to rise to victory. The first one I have, you can turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians for the first step that we need to take. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 8 to 11, I'd like to read. The first one I'd like to pull out is repentance. I believe it's the first step. It's the foundation, that step that we need to make as to rise to victory in Jesus. Let's read 2 Corinthians 7. Verse 8 to 11. For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent. For I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this selfsame thing that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. As we think of repentance, repentance has the thought of to turn from sin, to dedicate oneself to the amendment of their life, to be sorry, to change our mind where we're going. In this passage, Paul is saying to the Corinthians, you sorrowed to repentance. Sorrowed to repentance. It's a step we need to make, whether it is in the Christian life, to start out in the Christian life. The first step we need is repentance. But if we fail and fall after we have given our heart to the Lord, to get back up, we need to repent of it. We need to do something about it. Many times man tries this on his own. I think of my own life and the times that I've tried to say, well, I'm sorry, I'm going to make a difference, I'm going to change on my own. But realize, true repentance needs God to come in and to help us to stay, to make a change in our life. Do something about the repentance that we have inside. The second step that I have for victory in Jesus, that is, we must confess our sin. Confess our sin. Psalms 51 verse 3 says, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. We need to realize that we have sinned. Acknowledge it. Confess it. Confess our sin. This confession of sin, that as it happens in our life, I believe it's a test of our sincerity. How sincere am I willing? How willing am I to be cleansed of this? We oftentimes think that in this confession of sin, if another brother or sister hears about it, it's going to destroy our life. It's going to destroy what they think about us, or destroy our reputation. I'm here to say this morning that confession of sin restores trust. Confession of sin restores trust. As we open ourselves up to the encouragement of those about us, they realize that we are human. We all make mistakes. And it's amazing how many times a brother can tap us on the shoulder and says, thank you for that. I've been through trials too. We've all been there. And the trust can be restored. But it takes a confession of sin. Realize what it is. Don't sugarcoat it. Don't make it. It's not as bad as we try to cover it up so it don't look as bad as what it really is. We need to be open with it. Psalmist says, I acknowledge my transgressions. His sin is ever before him. It always has a way of keeping us on the straight and narrow. It's a step for victory. The third step that I have. Third step I have is restitution. Restitution. My mind goes to many passages in the scripture, but I'd just like to pull one out, an example of this restitution. You can turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 19. I think it's a very familiar account, one we know very well. That's of Zacchaeus. To make restitution, though, we do all in our power, everything we can, to make things right with our fellow men. Restitution, that's what it is. Luke chapter 19, I'd like to read verse 8 and 9. As Jesus was talking to Zacchaeus here, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." And Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham." There's a number of things that happen in this restitution. We go to our fellow men and said, I've sinned. I've fallen. I ended up down on the ice. I need to get up again. This is where I was. I want to make it right with you. Pull out all stops. What do I need to make it right with you? Give four times as much. This restitution takes a lot of effort, takes a lot of energy, takes a lot of power. To go to another brother or sister and say, "I'm sorry." But what does this restitution always do to us? Acts 24. Verse 16. So we think of this restitution. Maybe I'm pulling this passage a little bit out of context, but this is one thing that restitution does. It doesn't erase it from our memory. The human mind still can pull it up. Acts 24, verse 16. "And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." Paul is saying he's working to clear the conscience. And this restitution does that. It clears the conscience. I've done all in my power to make things right with my fellow men. It's a step that we need to take to find complete victory in Jesus. Fourth step I have to find complete victory in Jesus, we must flee sin. Flee sin. Turn with me over to Proverbs chapter 4. There's times in our life when I think we stop short of doing this. We stop short of fleeing sin. What about the places we drive? What about the things we do? What about the cell phone we carry in our pocket? And the list can go on. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14 and 15. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. Flee sin. Watch the circumstances that you place yourself in. Understand your own human weakness. Places where the devil can get a grip on our life. Flee sin. Areas where we've maybe fallen before. Take the effort to flee it. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Acts chapter 19. Another passage on this. As we flee sin. Acts chapter 19. I'd like to read verses 18 through 20. Acts chapter 19, verse 18. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. The Bible talks much about the love of money being the root of all evil. I see in this passage here, they pulled out all stops to get rid of the temptation to them. The price of them was 50,000 pieces of silver. There was nothing that there was going to stand in the way of them being right with God and to walk with God. They took a financial hit, can we say, a loss. To stay free of sin. Isaiah 55:7, as we think of another aspect of this, of fleeing sin. Isaiah 55, verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. As we flee sin, the point I'd like to pull out of this passage, there's many can come out of this, and but I'd like to say, control our thought life as we flee sin. You see, our thoughts, what happens in our mind, comes out in little ways usually, but we can't, nobody can really see what's in there. The sin that we can hold in our thought life. God gave us a mind. God gave us thoughts. But He also gives us the power to control. Control our thoughts. Flee the sin of evil thoughts. Flee the lust that you can feed on in your thought life. The fifth step I have. Fifth step for rising to victory in Jesus. That is, draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to God. Fill your mind with the truth of God's Word. What's in there? James 4:8, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Draw nigh to God. Cleansing. That happens as we draw nigh to God. Cleansing for our thought life as we apply the truth of God's Word daily to our lives. It'll be a stepping stone in your life for victory. As we flee sin, as the point was before this, and as we flee sin, if we're running from something in this life, whatever, you put yourself in the circumstances you want, you usually have a goal in mind where you're going to get to. You have something that you're going to press towards as you're running from. I'd like to be an encouragement to us. There's no higher place to flee to, no safer refuge than to flee to God. He can help you to be overcomers. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. I know we're taking ourselves to many scriptures through this message, but there's a lot of truth in God's Word. 1 Peter 3, verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. As we flee to God, his eyes are open unto our prayers. He hears us. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His eyes are on us as we're fleeing. His ears. He's always listening for us to come to him in prayer. Flee to God. He will always be there for you, no matter what comes in life. He always welcomes the penitent. One more passage as we think of drawing nigh to God. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Coming back a little bit as we draw nigh to God and it cleansing our thought life. There's a test in this passage for us. And I think it does us good to use it many times. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. This is a test for us. It is said, we can pretty much narrow this down to a 3-point filter test for our lives. What is coming out of our thought life? What is happening in our mind? What's coming out? 3-point filter test. Is it true? Is our minds filled with truth? Is the things that I'd like to share with my brethren and sisters, is it true? Or am I living on gossip? It's a test in our life. How close are we to God? The second test in this 3-point filter test. Is it good? Is what I'm going to share, what comes out of my mouth about my brethren and sisters, or maybe it's in the workplace, is it good? And the third point on this filter test, is it useful? Is there any use to what's going around in my thought life, to what I would share with my brethren and sisters or in the workplace? As we draw nigh to God, I believe we need to fill our thoughts more with God and His Word so that we can have this. Things that are true, of good, and useful to come out. That is what will be noticed to the brethren about us. Sixth step for rising to victory in Jesus. I have accountability and open to someone. Steps for rising to victory in Jesus. It's another step that we can make. Accountability. That word is not found in the Bible as such. Accountability. But there is many times the Scripture says about giving account, being accountable. We change it over to accountability. Think of the first people on this earth and the first family. Turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 4. I think you know the words I'm going to already on this. Accountability and open to someone. We think of Cain, is where my mind went. I'm going to read Genesis chapter 4, verse 9 through 13. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee your strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Being accountable and open to someone. As a church body here, we need this accountability. We need this openness one to another. Our lives should be an open, a life of transparency, because we are our brother's keeper. We are here to help our brethren about us on this road to glory. You are to be there to help your brother when he's in need, to lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees. What about those that are new in the faith? If we're not accountable to see in our brethren and sisters, be victorious. What about when it says in Matthew chapter 18, verse 6 and 7, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanging about his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Jesus speaking there in the words of offending these little ones, we need to be there to lift them up, to help them through to glory. There's a great woe pronounced on those that will not, but instead tear down those young in the faith, those that are weak among us. There's a great woe pronounced on it. There's a day coming where if we're not going to give an account to our brethren here on this life, on this earth, if we're not going to let our lives be open to each other, it's a day coming where our life will be open. Every man shall give an account to God. Isn't it better to do it here on this earth? To have things open and clear with our brethren so that they can help you take steps to victory. The seventh and last step I have. I have faith. It is, maybe we should say that this could have been the first step, but I put it as the last. Faith. Faith in Christ and His power to forgive sin. Have that assurance of salvation. Claim the promises of God. If we've taken all the other steps, we can have this. We can have this faith in Christ. But we need to look honestly at where we're at. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 John 5. We want to be overcomers in Christ and believing in His Son. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? There's a desire for faith. We want to be overcomers. We need this faith that comes in the promises of God. I'd like to ask you this morning, when you read your Bible, do you believe what it says? I know it sounds very elementary, but we get taught from little up that the Scripture is truth. Sometimes I wonder, how am I applying the Scripture to my life? If it's truth, and it's what I need for life, why don't I walk closer to it? Why is it not my vision in life to step out in faith in Christ and to follow its teaching to the utmost? Why do I try to find loopholes to go around the principles that have been applied from Scripture, the decrees for to keep is what I'm thinking of. Why do I try to find a loophole to go around what I know is asked of me? It is built on the truth of God's Word. Faith in Christ. We want to be overcomers. Let's look at some of the promises. And I got a good number of scriptures here. We read the one already in Isaiah 55, verse 7. That God will abundantly pardon our sins. But turn in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles 7. Do we think of promises that we can claim? As we come to Him and open ourselves to God. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. If my people, are you God's people? Yes. We can claim this if we follow these steps. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. We can have the promise that God will hear, forgive, and heal. It's there. We just need to claim the promises, to have this assurance that our sins are forgiven, that we're clear with God if we follow these steps. 1 John 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is faithful. He can cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Colossians 2:13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, and hath forgiven. Excuse me, let me read that again. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Forgiven you all trespasses. Isn't that great that God can wash them clean and forgive us? The last one I have, Revelation 1, verse 5. So we think of God forgiving our trespasses, and we think of the Christmas season and God sending his Son to die here for us, and the testimonies that we can have with it. We can claim this promise. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Our sins can be washed away. No more there. Yes, we do remember them in our human minds. Our minds bring them back. Was that really taken care of? Satan is a master at asking questions. He likes to put questions in our minds. We see it in the Garden of Eden. Hath God said? He likes to plant those questions. Are you sure it's taken care of? He troubles our thoughts. Makes us uncertain. And puts us on a shaky foundation. Or maybe Satan asks the question, does it really matter? Does it really matter? There's steps that we need to take. We must gain victory in Jesus. It does matter what we do in this life. Don't listen to Satan's excuses. Another excuse, and the last one. That I look back in my own life, and it has been there. As men, and maybe on the women feel it sometimes too, but we can do this on our own. We have strength. We can make a change in our life on our own. Nobody really needs to know about it. Brothers and sisters, true forgiveness, true victory comes only when we open ourselves up to God's leading and to the steps that need to be taken to live lives that are clean and pure. May God bless you. Let us kneel for prayer.